Today, friends, is a special blessed day. It is on this particular day, the 11th day after the new moon of this month, over 5,000 years ago, that this great knowledge of contained in Bhagavad Gita was given by Lord Krishna to Arjuna. The song was divine celestial song. Bhagavad Gita was sung on that day, and therefore this day is observed as the Gita Jayanti or the birth anniversary of Bhagavad Gita. And it is a wonderful coincidence that at this time it has come on Friday when we are having our Bhagavad Gita discussion. And we are in fact beginning the new chapter today, the 8th chapter, which consists of many very important topics, especially concerned with our connection with the world, how to know ourselves in relation with the world and our purpose of life and the value of our actions. So, last chapter ended where the seed for these things was given. The last two verses of the seven chapters, they were about this. That for getting rid of the decay and death, jara marana, decay or old age, and death, the people take refuge in me and thus know that Brahman, all about the embodied self and action in its entirety. So, by taking refuge in Lord, one comes to know these things in their essence. And when they come to know this, what is the all-pervading reality? What is the karma means the what is the nature of the actions that one should be doing? What is the nature of the self that I feel? All these ideas, they are known by getting connected or associated with the Lord. And also the last verse says that those who know me together with what concerns beings, the gods, the sacrifices, fix their mind on me and know me even at the time of death. We saw last time that even if one knows that at the time of death, still the efficacy of that knowledge is so strong, so powerful that it will remove all ignorance and fulfill the purpose of life right there. So, they will, even at the time of death, if they could form this connection, the life becomes successful. That you want to achieve, suppose, some important task and you are given, that say in 2 hours you have to finish it. Now, even if you finish it on 120th minute, still you have completed your job in allocated time. If not, then whatever you have done, you have to do maybe all over again. So, this human body is an instrument where this possibility is there. You have been given this task in human body to realize this truth. Human body is not for the sensory enjoyments alone. In fact, the sense enjoyments are not critical part of human life because human body is not fit for that. And also, there is a very peculiar thing associated with human awareness that prevents us from taking pleasure in only sense objects, and that is the sense of right and wrong or conscience. We get the feeling that, am I using my life in the right way? What am I gaining by running after those objects? Even though one may get and does get attracted towards the sense objects, as you hit them or get them, this conscience tells, hey, what have you been doing? What did you get? Is this the purpose of your life? Because a human life has this sense of purpose. Some psychologists tend to call it that human beings have big ego and think that there should be a purpose in life. But friends, the ego is everywhere. The purpose of life is not because of the heightened ego, but because of the sense that there is a self beyond this body. There is something that does not change in spite of the changes that we see all around. This feeling is so strong, friends, that although we do not catch hold of what this self is, yet there is the awareness, very strong awareness, that there is an essence of me that does not undergo any change in spite of the fact that every moment the body is continuously changing. So this is the aspect that human beings, they are concerned with. And therefore, the purpose of human life is not achieved through running after or the pursuit of sense enjoyments. One may go headlong in them, thinking that tomorrow probably I will achieve that pleasure that I was looking for, but it never comes and will never come because it is pursuit in wrong direction. So human beings, therefore, they become conscious of this and thus change their pursuit towards something that does not change, something that they can see as the abode of truth, peace, and ultimate bliss, and try to achieve that in life. Gear all activities of their life to this goal. And when they do it, even at the last moment of this life, if they do it before, that is well and good. Like if you have to write the examination in 3 hours, and if you finish in 2 hours, that's great. But even if you finish it in the nick of time, say at the end of 3 hours, that is wonderful. You will not be given then more time. That is the idea, that you have to finish it then. If you don't do it in this human life, then it is a big waste. That the scriptures again and again tell, that please don't waste this tremendous privilege that you have got as a human being. This is not a simple, ordinary thing. Sometimes the wealth that comes to us, and since we become so familiar with it, we do not understand the importance of it. As they say, familiarity breeds contempt. The human life is so precious, but since we just think that it is any ordinary life, we do not tend to make the best use of it for the purpose that it is destined to, the purpose that it is geared to. The pleasures of the senses, they can certainly better acquired in other bodies, as Swami Vivekananda has pointed out, and many other scriptures also say this thing, that a human being cannot eat with the gusto of a dog or a pig. And even the system, digestive system, is not eat something little here and there and you get stomach ache or allergy or whatever. Look at how the cows graze in the pasture. Do you see any cow? Forget those cows which are constrained in that and are fed with so many those things in the factory made things. But otherwise, you see them seldom falling sick because their bodies are geared for that. There is no awareness of any higher purpose in that. But human beings have this sense, and therefore that needs to be properly used. If not used, it is like Keno Upanishad says, that it is Mahati Vinashti. It is a big, big loss. You have just wasted a great opportunity. And as we will see in the 8th chapter, this opportunity is not coming every now and then. We will have to invest. It is a very precious machine, precious instrument, costing a lot of investment. Human body costs a lot. We shall see that idea as we progress in the 8th chapter, that this body costs a lot, and therefore it is not easy to get it very quickly back again. It is, you may not care that a pen that costs say 10 or 15 cents or maybe a maximum a dollar, even if you lose it, you know, well, it is not very costly, I can easily get the other one. But suppose something is $1 million worth, you spent lot of money, all your savings, everything that you had, in fact took some loan to get that $1 million thing, and suppose it is just lost, then how much distress will you be? Because it is not easy to get $1 million again to get it. So this human body is a great big investment, much more than $1 million, and therefore it is to be used properly. That is with that idea that the 7th chapter ends, and therefore inspired by these thoughts, Arjuna asked this wonderful question. The first verse of this 8th chapter is called Akshara Brahma Yoga. Akshara Brahma Yoga means the Brahman, that which does not change. That Akshara means unchanging. There is no change in that. So that Brahman, they getting connected or united with that is the name of this chapter. And that union is just through knowledge. We are that. Just knowing that is becoming that. So Arjuna, in the beginning of this chapter, asked this question. Arjuna vacha, kim tad brahma kim adhyatmam kim karma purushottama adhibhutam cha kim proktam adhidaivam kim uchyate. What is that Brahman? What is Adhyatma? And what is action? O best of men, what is called Adhibhuta and what is the Adhidaiva? The question continues in the second verse. Adhiyajna katham kutra dehesmin madhusudana prayana kale cha katham niyosi niyatatmabhihi. Who and how is this Adhiyajna in this body, O slayer of Madhu, Sri Krishna? Krishna had killed one demon whose name was Madhu. And there is a very nice philosophical significance also associated with that killing. The slayer of Madhu, and how are you known at the time of death by the self-restraint? So let us see first this question so that we can appreciate the answer. Arjuna is like our spokesperson. Instead of all of us asking the question, Arjuna asks the question that is bothering the minds of all of us, and therefore the answer becomes useful for everyone. So let us feel this question as our question, so that the answer also will become the answer for us. Let us feel that that feeling of Arjuna as our feeling. So, what is Arjuna asking? Kim tad brahma. Tad means what you have told me about at the end of the last verse, last two verses in the seventh chapter. What is that Brahman that you were talking about? And what is adhyatma? Again, that is a verse, that is a word that came there, that adhyatma means connected with the self. What is that? And then, what is the meaning of actions? And what is adhibhuta? Means the world of matter. And what is, did you call adhidaiva? The agencies or the powers that make this matter function or move. What is that? Then, adhiyajna, the sacrifice. It is, what is the nature of that? How the things get changed from one to the other body or the other being, they change places. Movement is the nature of this world. So, what is the essence of this movement? What does it achieve? The changing of the forms. Forms keep on changing continuously. So, what is that? That is an essence of this idea of sacrifice. All these will be beautifully elaborated as we proceed further. And here he is called Madhusudana, as we saw that the killer of the demon Madhu. That Madhu is external demon, okay, but Madhu is the pleasure that we get, that is sweet. Madhu means sweet. The sweetness that we see in many other things, we run after that sweetness. So, and then that makes us a demon, that for running after the desires because of the sweetness. If we don't feel sweetness, we don't run after those things. So something pleasurable is felt, and then we run after that pleasure. That is this demon Madhu. And Krishna has slain that demon by showing us the source of, or the real source of happiness in life. So, that is how he has been addressed here. And how am I to realize you or know you? You spoke about that even if a person knows that at the time of death, how one then happens to know you at the time of death? You means the reality of the world. Now, Arjuna's awareness is significantly changed about Krishna. See, in the beginning of the second chapter, we see Arjuna's questions. And they were mostly about release from the suffering. And although he was addressing Krishna there, that you are my teacher, but still that divine presence in the form of Krishna was not being realized by Arjuna till then. Gradually, as the message is sinking, the Krishna, not just a human being in front of him, not just a friend of years and years of association, but the divine, and that is manifesting in this body. So that is the evolution of awareness about Krishna. Krishna as a person, Krishna as the principle or the self of all manifesting in front of Arjuna as the embodied being. So that is now the that you can see Arjuna's awareness has come to that level where he can at least appreciate this idea that knowing Krishna is not knowing how old he is as a person, how much is his weight, not what we call normally as biodata, which school did he go to, what courses he took there. That is not that is only a changing external or limited aspect of Krishna, but Krishna as the self of all. So that Krishna is to be known, and so Arjuna asked that at the time of death, how does one get to know you? So all these, so many questions have been asked in these two verses, and Lord will be giving answers to these in an elaborate fashion, because these questions are very philosophical in nature and require a lot of understanding, explanation to get the proper answers and make those answers really functional in our life. So, Lord starts replying. Let us see these in the words of Lord Krishna. Shri Bhagavan Vacha, the Blessed Lord said, Aksharam Brahma Paramam Swabhavodhyatma Muchyate Bhuta Bhavod Bhavakaru Visargah Karma Sangnitah. The highest imperishable principle is Brahman. Its existence as the embodied soul is called Adhyatma, and the offering into the sacrificial fire which causes the origin and development of beings is called actions. Great answer, that the highest imperishable principle is Brahman. Highest imperishable. Imperishable, saying imperishable would have been sufficient, because that is the highest. But this idea, Aksharam Brahma, or imperishable Brahman, the unchanging and the highest. Why it is highest? Brahman is highest. Highest in the sense of most precious. The highest has many meanings, that it is sometimes these words high and low give us the connotations become very different. Sometimes good connotation, sometimes not that good connotation. Sometimes they create favorable impression, sometimes not that favorable impression. Something has the highest price. So So sometimes it will create favorable impression, sometimes not favorable impression. So low, high, low. It is, suppose somebody has high fever in the body. So that is not a good sign. So high does not always mean very good. Or similarly, the low always does not mean good. Like say high cholesterol in the body, that's not a good sign. So high does not necessarily mean good always. But highest Brahman, here highest is the translation of the Sanskrit word paramam. Paramam means the supreme, the best. There is nothing that surpasses it in preciousness. That is the idea, paramam. The highest or the best, the supreme achievement that one can think of, that is Brahman. And it does not change, unchanging, imperishable. At various points in our life, there are certain things that appear to be very important at that stage. And one runs after them. Like, I need to get my PhD work done. I have to get PhD. PhD appears to be very, very important at one stage in life. But some years back, that was not a big concern. And some years from hence, it will not be any of any concern. So these things change, that sometimes you feel that is important, sometimes something else becomes important. So the importance and the value of other things in life, it changes. But the value of Brahman is not subject to change in that sense. It is always highest. It is objectively highest. It doesn't depend whether you feel it highest or not. It is objectively speaking the supreme. Why have this in this relative world? How can we make this absolute statement like this, that Brahman is the supreme value? Because realizing Brahman makes one completely fulfilled. Nothing else remains to be achieved. And in that sense, it is the highest achievement. And this is not shared by any other achievement. Any other achievement in life will still leave the craving behind for something more. And the craving will still be there, that yes, I got my PhD, but what next? I need to get some other qualifications, or have to take again and again some refresher courses to keep my job. So even if one gets PhD, that is not the highest value then. You need to get something more to fulfill your life. You may get, say, a Nobel Prize, but that is again not the highest value. For a time being, maybe you will feel that satisfaction that I have attained the 9th heaven or 11th heaven or whatever. I have reached that hell heaven. People will be showering praise, and you will be written about in the newspaper and media and so forth. But all that just withers away in a few days, and then what next? In every other achievement, that problem will be there. Only in realizing Brahman, that will be gone forever. And therefore, that is the highest achievement and unchanging. And this idea we have seen a few times here, that whatever we perceive through our sense organs, it has the changing aspect. And yet, behind it is the unchanging awareness associated with it too. Like when we see a wave, that wave rises and falls. And so that is the changing part. But again, the wave is sea, that sea or ocean, whatever you call that, that aspect remains. And that aspect is present even when we are seeing the wave. In fact, the perception of the changing wave becomes possible, becomes visible only on the background of this unchanging reality of the ocean. So, we perceive many different things, like perceiving this microphone. Yes, it is changing something, the matter. It keeps on shifting, changing, continuously in motion. And yet there is some aspect of it that makes it unchanging. That is why we say, is this the same microphone that I was speaking through last Friday? And most of the people will say, it is the same microphone. What keeps it same if it is changing continuously? Still, why does that sameness makes its presence felt? So, that is the Brahma Paramam, that which does not change. Aksharam means unchanging, imperishable. That is Brahman. So, this is a training of the mind, friends. This practice of religion or spirituality is basically training of our mind, training to perceive that unchanging, eternally present aspect of everything. And one can get that training. The meditational practices are a good tool for that. If properly used, then we will be able to perceive, actually tangibly perceive that unchanging aspect behind every changing vibration. So that is Aksharam Brahma. So let us make it as a practice that when, for example, I see something, seeing this microphone, these two aspects of microphone, the one aspect that changes, the other that does not change, that is present there. Learning to feel the ocean behind every rising and falling wave. It is a training. So, that is Aksharam Brahma Paramam. And that kind of meditation is to be done continuously. Not only when sitting in a meditation room and closing the eyes, but whenever we are seeing or hearing or doing our various different works, interactions with people, let us be aware of that unchanging principle that does not go away. It requires a big training. There is certainly that presence there. We always are aware of something that does not change. That is why we buy something and if we don't like, we return that very thing. How it remains that very thing? It is changing continuously. We know it is changing. And yet, I say, I purchased it 3 days back. But I don't like it. It doesn't function properly. It doesn't serve my purpose. So I am returning it to you, back to the store. And the store accepts it, saying, yes, you have the receipt for that. It is the same thing. Now it is changing continuously and yet same. So what is that same? Try to feel that. That is the Aksharam Brahma. Whenever anything is being perceived, let us try to feel that aspect, that which does not change in spite of the changing appearances. Changing appearances, we are aware of that what changes. And we see those changes. But for feeling the unchanging aspect, we have to practice some transcendence. And again, not that we don't do it. We always do it, but not methodically, not in a fashion that will bring us to the true knowledge. We do it spontaneously, like as I told. We take that saying that I am returning this, the same thing. I bought it 3 days back and today I am returning it. So what is it? Is it that very thing? Yes and no. So that which has not changed, that aspect one has to learn to perceive. And as one develops that capacity, the spiritual awareness starts growing to learn to perceive the unchanging aspects of anything. So that is the Aksharam Brahma Paramam. And that, why it is important? It is important because that is the highest, the best, the supreme achievement in life. So one has to be doing it consciously, conscientiously. And Svabhavo Adhyatma Muchyate. What is this idea of I, the perceiver? It is that very thing that you feel about yourself. The reality is perceived by us in two different, what I should say, two divisions. One is the world and another is the I and the world. In fact, it is a big problem for us how to relate the two. In every experience that we have, you have the I and the world, the perceiver and the perceived, subject and the object. But how they get connected is a big question. I am seeing this microphone. Now, how this I and microphone, they get connected? What becomes the platform for bringing these two, subject and object, together? So, this subject part is called Adhyatma. Who am I? What is the world? And who am I? That who am I, that feeling of I, associated, contained, just pervading in everything, that is this Adhyatma. That who am I? I am doing this. I am attending the Bhagavad Gita class. I work as this a teacher, or I work as a mechanic. All these ideas, I am so and so, all these ideas pertain to I and world. You will see that there is not a single idea that we get which pertains only to one of these. It comes as a mixed package, mixed bag, that I and world together. That is why in the beautiful commentary of Shankara on the Vedanta aphorisms, Brahma Sutra Bhashya, the beginning is like this, that our whole experience is a combination of Yushmat Asmat, Yushmat Asmat Pratyaya Gocharayoho Vishaya Vishayinoho, and beautiful language that this you and I combined together and inseparably combined. Can you show which is I part and which is the you part? That not is so inseparably twined together, tied together, that which thread is which is difficult to identify, is so mixed, inseparably mixed. When you try to say, this is I, well, the body, do you mean this? These bones are I? You think, no, I didn't mean that exactly. But then, do you call this only you? No, it cannot be called only you either, because the perceiver has gotten mixed with that perception. And therefore, it is neither only I, not only you. But the two have been combined in an inseparable, unidentifiable way, and yet they are two opposites of each other. Each has very different characteristics, and yet the confusion takes place. If those things which are similar in appearance, one may say the confusion is natural there, possible there, that two look alike. So, like two people, it happens that the height, the appearance are similar. So sometimes you know one of your friends say, John, hey John, how are you doing? And that fellow turns and then you realize probably you have made a mistake, that is not John. And that fellow says, no, I'm not John. So now that confusion is understandable. You say, sorry, my friend John looks exactly like you. So, understandable confusion. But can you identify or call a telephone pillar? Hey John, how are you? Because they different characteristics. A telephone pole looks different. John looks different. Characteristics are different. So there is less chance of confusion. You won't ask a chair, hey, Jenny, how are you today? Because Jenny is not that chair. You know that, no confusion. But here, this is inexplicable, that two, completely opposite, I and you, their characteristics are completely opposite. One is I, knower, the other, you, known. Yet they get confused. The one that is the subject, the other object, yet they get confused. So, it is therefore this superimposition of the two that makes this knowledge of who am I a very critical, something that is so close and yet so unknowable. It is, we know I and we do not know I. It is, you cannot say that I do not know at all, because that is the nearest, closest thing to you, and everything that you know, first you know I, and through that I you are knowing it. Do you see your glasses? Do you see your glasses? Yes and no. Because unless you are seeing the glasses, how can you see everything that you see through the glasses? First you see the glasses, and through that those glasses, then you see everything. Similarly, you know the self, and then through that knowledge of the self, you know everything else. And yet, we are not aware of the glasses that through which we are seeing. It is only when they are not there, then we say that, well, I don't know, I can't see properly, where are my glasses? So, it is like that, that the knowledge of the self, known and unknown. So that is called Adhyatma, anything that is connected with this feeling of I, Adhyatma. Brahma is that unchanging, supreme, and Adhyatma is that is connected with the self. Then, Bhuta Bhavodbhava Karo, Now the creation, the world that we see, what is this world around? I understood that Supreme Brahman is Brahman, that is Brahman, that does not change. I, who is that feeling within? And now what is this, the world and the things around me? That is the Bhuta Bhava. The Bhuta means coming into being. Things come into being and then that remain in the being for some time and then are gone. So that is the play of this creation that we see all around us. Bhuta Bhavod Bhava Karo. And that is all the actions are related to that. Every coming into being is an action. That like the this chair coming out of wood, we say that the carpenter did work, and so through that work, what happened? Creation. This chair that wasn't existing came into being through this action, and then it gets destroyed. Another action. That building a house is an action. Destroying a house, other house that is demolished today. So that is again another action. Creation, preservation, destruction, all these are actions. All actions means changing the form. The action has nothing else as its content. The form changes. The things can keep on changing their form. And see, what a beautiful definition of action. Action means changing the form. Every action means change in form, and every change of form means an action. There is the equivalence between the two, action and the change of form. If there is no change of form, no action. If there is a change of form, then there is action. So all activity pertain to this change in form. So sometimes it is big change in form, sometimes small change in form. But all that when we say, I did like this, means what did you do? That which is unchanging, nothing happened to it. But one form through the action got changed into another form. There is a dough, and from dough you made the bread. Now dough is one form, bread is another form, and the changing of the form brought this idea that I did this work. This work got done in changing the form. The form changes, that is, the visargaha bhuta bhavod bhava karo, that the offering into sacrificial fire which causes the origin and development of beings is called action. So it is called sacrifice here because that is how something here goes there. So that is sacrifice. It is things which were at one place, they got changed into something at some other place. They got changed in form. The things are changing their places. So that is all sacrifice. Sacrifice essentially is that like you poured some oblation in fire. That is the familiar picture of a sacrifice, that you have a fire burning and then you pour oblations in the name of God, reciting the name of God to whom that fire represents, you pour oblation into that. So what is it now? It is an action where the things in one place got put into something else. They change their place, they change their form. So all actions are of this type. This is called the yajna or the sacrifice. Karma visarga karma sannitaha. Now, the next verse is about the adhibhutam. That is, what is connected with the matter. We shall analyze those the things later in the next class. But I will give you just the translation of this fourth verse. Adhibhutam kshuro bhavah purushashchadidaivatam adhiyajnyo hamevatra dehe dehabhritam vara. Perishable entities are called adhibhuta. The cosmic being is called adhidaiva, and I myself am called the adhyatma in this body. O best of embodied beings. So it is this adhibhuta, that which is associated with the changing things, that is the what is called here as adhibhuta, the changing aspect of everything. We deal with changes. So that is and adhidaivatam, the energies or powers that keep on changing it, and the doership. He says, well, in every being I am that doer. So we say that I did it. The agency is required for the action. Who did it? We want to fix the credit or the responsibility of every action. Who did it? The doer, the actor. God says that, well, in the depth I am that who does it. So very beautiful ideas are there. We shall take them up Friday, but not next Friday. Next Friday is Christmas Eve, and we will have a Christmas Eve celebration right here. As you know, Christmas Eve in our order, the Ramakrishna order, this occasion has great importance, and so we observe it every year. So this year also it will be observed. And since it again is falling on Friday this year, our Friday Bhagavad Gita class will be substituted by that Christmas Eve celebration next Friday. So the class, the Bhagavad Gita class, will take place only then the next one, that is I think 31st. So New Year's Eve. So we will get into the New Year's Eve with this Bhagavad Gita. Any questions? Yes, George?
They say everybody has a hole, and the only way that hole can be satisfied is with God.
Exactly. Yes, actually this idea of joining the two hands and saluting, your question is that
my question is really, if the I am is God, that feeling of I am is God, then you already are God.
It is question of just knowledge. Knowing is important. That if not, then you are that, but you do not get the freedom or any benefit associated with that. You may be a billionaire, and if you don't know that, you may still be begging for pennies. So when you know that you are Brahman, then this bondage will go away. And that you are right, that every being has a whole. His question is that every being has a whole, and that whole is a God-shaped whole. And therefore, just as you cannot fit the round pegs in the square holes, so similarly, this God-shaped hole could be filled only with God. Otherwise, that vacuum, that craving inside just remains. That is why that I, Lord says here, that the feeling of I that you get, I am that. So, substitute that. It is that substitution is important. When you feel that I did the meals on wheels, I did the meals on wheels today. So, instead of feeling that I did it, feel that, God in me is the doer, not I the doer. It is a great practice, that very illuminating practice. That is why Lord says that, whenever that feeling, when this I feeling is not proper, then it gives rise to bondage. When this I feeling is associated with the limited things, then I there, George I, is different from Vishwanath's I, it is different from Rishali's I, and so forth. They become different I. That I, which is seen as in its true nature as God, then that is I of everyone. That is then not different. The meditation, therefore, that I am God should be like that, not the upon this limitation that body and mind, I am God, you rascal, you are not, not in that sense, but the same I resides in what I call good or what I call evil. The same I pervades all of them. So that is yes. Yes, everybody, that needs purification, therefore. Everybody has this feeling, I am. That feeling needs to be purified. And that is why it is to be substituted there by, I am divine, or God is my reality. So that is, in both ways one can try to do it. In most of us, by putting this idea on divine, which is the truth here as well as truth everywhere, then it becomes easier to focus. Otherwise, it is very possible, means actually more possibility tends to that one identifies the limited ego with the divine, and thus feels that I am divine. I get communications from the divine. You all have to listen to me. That is all foolishness. It is
identification.
Yes, exactly. That is the purification. These are all means of the purification. You are, even you are before born, being born, you are that. Even birth is not limiting to that. It is this knowledge is to be cultivated, that's all.
Yeah, but I was thinking that you actually to say, I am, I salute the I am in you. How could you have a dislike for that person or a hatred?
Yes. You wouldn't, exactly. That is why that idea of namaste is that I salute the divine in you. Exactly. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. And then we had some offering of to Lord today because of the special occasion. Those who are listening on the live webcast. Can you give them in the e-form that offering? I don't know. A piece of cake. So give them an e-piece of cake, piece of e-cake. Gita sugita kartavya kimanyat shastra vistarehi ya swayam padmanabhasya mukha padmadvinesrita ekam shastram devaki putra gitam eko devo devaki putra eva eko mantrah tasya namani yani karma pyekam tasya devasya seva shri krishna arpanamastu.